Dynamite!
It's Dynamite!
Wednesday night, Dynamite!
So Dynamite!
This is awesome! It's a dick, it's a dick, it's a dick! Hey, everybody, have a great time!
It's Dynamite!
I'm not one of these f***ing goof podcasters out there. What's up, everybody? It is Wednesday night, December 16th, 2020. I am back once again. This is Wednesday Night Dynamite. And, well, as Puffy89 has already posted our super chat, thank you so much, my friend. The Snowden edition. Yeah. Anybody that's on my Twitter, at DonTonyD, saw about 2 or 3 hours ago, me like an idiot, I opened my front window, I lifted the screen, I took my brand new iPhone 12 or whatever it is, and I said, yeah, let me shoot a minute or two of video, you know, to show everyone how bad the weather is. And the next thing, and you saw it, a burst of wind, because we got nor'eastern, burst of wind and snow goes in a camera in my face. Oh, it was horrible. I've had three times that I am aware of that the internet has gone out between 8 o'clock and the start of this show. So I have my cell phone as a hotspot in the background just in case connection goes down. But I will tell you, I know I promised it many times in the past, but this, without a doubt, is going to probably be the quickest Wednesday Night Dynamite that I've ever done, because I don't know how much this is going to stay up. You know, when we get bad rains where I live, the internet goes down quite a bit. We're supposed to get 20 to like 26 inches of snow. As of right now, there's only about maybe 4 or 5, but it's going to be absolutely horrendous. Then you add the wind, and then you add all the other factors in it. Not a good night. Not a good night. I don't know. Did it feel like a good night for Wednesday Night Wrestling? I'm not so sure. There were parts of it I really, really liked. But there were parts of it that, I don't know, man. I mean, I am the first person that told everybody that I love a little nostalgia. Mike Tyson in the boxing ring, once again, I thought was phenomenal. Seeing Sting back on television, I thought it was pretty damn cool. But I got to be honest with you. 2 weeks post Sting back, and I did not like what I saw tonight. Kenny Omega, Impact Wrestling. Look, I promise you this episode is not going to be a complaint fest. If I don't like things that much, then I don't pay attention to it. I won't follow it. But I tell you, Impact Wrestling, with all due respect, there's a reason why they only get 150,000 viewers on cable TV every week. Yes, Access TV is not a really popular channel, and maybe some of you out there can't even get the damn thing. But even online, they don't break records as far as their numbers go. So Justin Roberts today, cute, you know, with the introduction for Kenny Omega, bringing up that Kenny Omega's appearance last week on Impact Wrestling resulted in a 33% increase in the ratings. And that was true. But talk about the rose. What's the saying? Talk about the bloom off the rose. Kenny Omega was on Impact again yesterday. Now remember, before Kenny Omega appeared last week on Impact, I think the week before they did 165 or 167,000 viewers. Last week they had like a 45. No, actually last week they jumped up to 221,000. So look, you look at a couple of years ago compared to now, that's for a global company like Impact Wrestling, who still has global commitments, $221,000 is a joke. But obviously with COVID and with them still not back to even 50%, $221,000, I take it. $200,000, I'll take it. But you do this whole storyline of an invasion angle, and Kenny Omega returns to Impact yesterday. Well, guess what? The rating went down to 177,000 viewers. So most of the, pun intended, impact that Kenny Omega caused last week went right back down. And I'll tell you why I'm not feeling this storyline anymore. Don't get me wrong. When Impact Wrestling announced this, I thought that was pretty cool to see members of the Bullet Club, and they even referenced the Bullet Club yesterday, to see them reuniting at Hard to Kill. It's going to be the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, and Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. That actually, I'm looking forward to that match. But talk about a horrible, horrible, I mean, look, I'm not going to go on this, you know, real ripping of Impact Wrestling, but I think we got to keep in perspective. This is not Memphis and Vince McMahon and WWF from 1993. This is not NWA invading WWF in mid-90s or whatever it was, late 90s. This is not, you know, NWO. Well, it's, I wouldn't even dare put it in that sentence. This is not an invasion. This is just Don Callis, Kenny Omega, all like this. Tony Khan, give him credit. He is the big promotion right now out of everybody except for WWE. And anybody that he links up with, whether it's NWA, whether it's MLW, whether it's Impact Wrestling, whether it's AAA or anything else, AEW's up here. They're all over here. So give credit to Tony Khan for willing to do a little bit. But let me explain why this is turning into Shangada shit already. Impact Wrestling. And you, if you notice, I don't have any notes in front of me. This is just an opening little diatribe. But oh, I forgot. I got to keep my notes for the timestamps so we keep everything organized. By the way, thank you, everybody, for the kind words as far as the timestamps. I can't wait till 2021 starts. Mish and I are working so freaking hard right now to tweak little things here, add things. There's going to be some big announcements in the next couple of weeks. By the way, for anybody who accesses DonTony.com or Wrestling-News.com, it's not going to be updated for a day or two because I switched my servers today. And Host Papa? I think it's called Host Papa. Host Papa is my server company. They're migrating everything to like a real high-speed drive so we could start posting videos there and everything. So they told me, look, next day or two, things won't be down. So if you want to download tonight's episode, you could get it straight on, you know, the Libsyn. You could get it. I'll post a link even on YouTube if you'd like as well. So I'll make sure everybody has access to it. So anyway, oh no, I'm getting this thing in a second. Let's just get Impact out of the way. Let's just get Impact out of the way immediately. The problem I have with Impact Wrestling is a couple of things I have a problem with. You look at Impact Wrestling's press releases. You look at them pushing something like this, okay? Sorry about that. You look at something like that. If you follow Impact Wrestling social media account, if tweets could have orgasms, there'd be jizz all over the place. You ever see that little GIF file of the cartoon character that's in front of the keyboard? Actually, it's just a still photo. It's like a fat cartoon character. He's in front of his keyboard, and it looks like there's sperm. There's like loads all over his walls and everything like that. That's what Impact social media account looks like right now. They're coming across as excited. And they're using like, well, Don Callis is using his power to do this, and Don Callis is using his power to do this. They're coming across as excited. You have tonight the commentators on AEW acting disappointed at Kenny Omega for showing up on Impact Wrestling. This is ass backwards. AEW is the dominant company. They should be having Tony Khan as a little bit of a heel showing up on Impact Wrestling. He did the promo last week. I could buy Impact Wrestling. Hey, there's rumors I could buy Impact Wrestling. But you tell your goddamn commentators on Dynamite to be upset that Kenny Omega keeps showing up on Impact? How's about a little bit of consistency here? AEW should be bragging on Dynamite that they could just show up on Impact Wrestling and do whatever they want. And their world champion, they get the privilege of their world champion appearing on their show. And they're going to take care of their itty-bitty little champion, Rich Swann, and the former itty-bitty champions, the Motor City Machine Guns. But no, it's confusing messages. And here's the worst part. Here's the worst part of it all. Impact Wrestling is taped. To the rest of the year. Everything's done. And to show you how little they've taped, they're doing, for the last, 2 weeks of the 2020, best ofs. Why would you do an invasion storyline with just two or three promos recorded in the books, and you do best ofs for the next 2 weeks? Here's where it gets even worse. You have Impact Wrestling wrestlers at home right now. They don't all live in the Northeast where Tropical Storm Northeastern Gale is screwing everybody up right now. They're living in all parts of the country. Impact Wrestling's wrestlers are home right now. They're not appearing on Impact Wrestling for the remainder of 2020 other than best ofs. Why isn't Tony Khan working out something with Impact Wrestling? Like, look, we're not doing anything on TV for the next 2-3 weeks. We got to hype this up. Why? Especially tonight. Tonight is a no DQ match between Joey Janela and Kenny Omega. Why not have Rich Swann show up at AEW Dynamite tonight? Why not even go off the air that he's trying to jump the guardrail and get in the ring and everybody's holding him back? He wears an Impact Wrestling shirt. Why not have something where Gallows and Anderson happen to be in the back with Kenny Omega? Why are they not having Impact Wrestling's wrestlers show up on AEW for the next 2 weeks since you're doing best ofs? This is so ass backwards, and I want to love it. A little storyline like that is good enough, but man, talk about such an easy thing to do. And in my Vince McMahon voice, I mean, they haven't totally ruined it yet, but something tells me in 2 weeks, other than that match, they ruined it, damn it. They ruined it. You never get a second chance at a first impression. There was so much momentum last week. Yeah, it only had 60,000 more viewers, but still, it created a buzz online. Wednesday Night Wrestling has officially become the number two night of wrestling during the week. I don't know if you heard about Raw's numbers, but Raw had the lowest rating in the history of Monday Night Raw. The history of Monday Night Raw, this past Monday. Can't blame it on Rollins. Can't blame it on King Corbin. You can't. What do you blame it on this time? The lowest ratings in history. And then Impact Wrestling, they drop 50, they lost almost all the viewers that they gained last week. Oh, I didn't know Tuesday Night Football was on yesterday. I didn't know that WWE had some wrestling promotion going up against Impact yesterday. They got so much buzz last week. They should have offered, they got a $175 million contract with TNT. You get that buzz online. It's not just one-sided for Impact Wrestling. The whole storyline. They should have been on the phone for Gallows and said, listen, you guys, could any way possible you could show up on Dynamite? We want to do something where Impact is trying to get into AEW and start shit. Nothing. 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 Why? I mean, in January, they're going to do it. If they're going to go full-blown in January, they should not have started this right before Christmas. Because you already lost all your viewers that you gained last week. Next week and the week after, there's no storyline consistency. And Sting. 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 Got to put the bookmark for this. I love that Sting is back on TV. I don't care if he's a mentor. I don't care if he's a general manager. I don't care if he's an authority figure. I don't care if he manages Cody. By the way, absolutely, we got to bring this up. Congratulations to Cody and Brandy. They are expecting. Brandy is pregnant. I know if you want to just look at this as a wrestling fan and matches go, at least there's a consolation for those that didn't like it. You don't have to worry about Jade Cargill versus Brandy for probably a year. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. So for people out there that were like, oh my God, they're going to do this match, I got news for you. I think some people are going to be pleasantly surprised about Jade Cargill. Is she this amazing diamond in the rough that just people pass? No, she is very new to pro wrestling. WWE had the opportunity to get her. They passed up on it. WWE's had the opportunity to get a bunch of people they passed up on. Look, you could say that about WWE towards Wardlow and others. Okay, that's fine. But there's also a lot of people that WWE did not pass up that other promotions did. But Jade Cargill, I think people are going to be, once they really, you know, let her loose, I think people are going to be a little bit surprised that she can actually work a little bit. And she's a big, big-ass motherfucker. You think she played basketball? I mean, she's a big woman. I just got to see, who do they put her up against? I mean, she towers people. So, you know, but getting back to Brandy and Cody, you don't have to worry about that Brandy and Jade match. But you know what? Congratulations to both of them. Brandy doesn't look like she's carrying yet, so this must have been very, very recent news. But Brandy and Cody are going to be parents, and I congratulate both of them, seriously. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, you think about 2020, and I brought this up Monday. I said, you know, even more when I did my rant, and Mish and I had a great discussion adding on to it Monday, but even though people were upset about the reports that Keith Lee was sent to the Performance Center and other people were sent to the Performance Center, understand something. We're still in COVID. There are no house shows going on. There are some wrestlers that only wrestle once a month, maybe twice a month. I guarantee you, three quarters of the WWE roster is passing by the Performance Center and doing things to keep the ring rust off. To maybe, this is the time that you tweak things. This is the time that you experiment with things. This is not when you're working 200-300 dates a year. This is the time you mess around and test things. And as you notice, this is also the time that people have been able to heal up nagging injuries, to heal up wounds that people have been wrestling through, people wrestling with pain. With this light schedule, because of COVID, people are really healing themselves physically, and people are getting laid. So, you know, you look at it, Moxley and Renee, I mean, you have other people expecting. I mean, it's a good time, man. It's a good time. So I think we even said the joke. What did we say? Oh, man, what was that joke I said about Nikki Bella and Brie Bella? I said, when they turn 16, what are they going to be called? I can't remember it right now. It was a good joke, too. But, you know, but congratulations to Cody and Brandy. Seriously. So now we get back to Sting. I'm all for nostalgia. I like that Sting is back on TV. Me, social media, the outspoken people out there, none of us know Sting's body as good as Sting himself and maybe his doctors. So if Sting thinks that he could do certain things, I trust him. I trust him. Because, as I've said before, I think of Sting's career that I've been able to enjoy since the beginning because I'm an old geezer. And I don't recall any part of Sting's career where he looked out of shape, where he was just embarrassing in the ring. Yeah, maybe in TNA, I think the worst gimmick I ever liked was the Joker thing. You know, some people loved it. There was parts of it that I liked. But the point is, you know, Sting's career, you know, he's pretty much backed it up in the ring. He doesn't have to do five-star matches. He doesn't have to do the flippy stuff. You know, do I want to see Sting wrestle at 61? Well, I've said this before. We've seen other wrestlers wrestle at 60 years old. We've seen wrestlers wrestle in their late 50s. I brought up Ricky Steamboat when he took on Jericho. And everybody was doing that. I don't remember anybody out there. The only thing that some goofs were talking about was his thinning hairline, which I think Ricky actually fixed a little bit of that. Here's the problem. Oh, thank you. Ken, thank you. Thank you. And you know what? Since he got it, I have the drum thing. All right, everybody, here was the joke that I made up. Well, I didn't make it up. I stole it, but I tweaked it for wrestling purposes. What do you call Nikki Bella's kid, Brie Bella's kid, John Moxley and Renee's kid, because we can include them now, and Cody and Brandy's kid in the year 2036 or 2035? What do you call all their kids? You call them quarantines. I pressed the wrong button. They're quarantines. I know, bad. You probably say, no, DT, you pressed the right button. You definitely pressed the right button. So, yeah, if I was that great of a comedian, I probably wouldn't be doing this right now. You know, I think the biggest laughs is if I raise my shirt. You know, I tell my, no joke. I tell my fiance once in a while, hey, you wanna see something funny? She says, what are you gonna do? Drop your pants? Swear to God. So anyway, Sting. I don't know. Is my brain subconsciously trying to get me not to say what I want to say about Sting? I trust Sting. If he thinks he could do stuff, he's never embarrassed me as a wrestling fan when he's in the ring. Yes, there was some unfortunate injuries and very recently the buckle bomb with Rollins, but here tonight there's a saying that I always live by. If you take one step backwards, take two steps forward. You know, some people take one step forward and take three steps back. Jake Atlas, there's a reason why he's off TV now for the last 2 weeks. You cut a promo. I took three steps back, but I took one big step forward. No, you idiot. You don't level it by the size of the steps. No, you only took three baby steps back. You take one step back. You try to take two steps forward. Tonight, they took one step forward with Sting, and they took five fucking steps backward. And I've named those steps Taz, Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, Taz's son, and Hobbs, the guy that looks like he's constipated all the time now. How do you have, seriously, nostalgia or not, How do you have Will Hobbs, Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, Taz, and Taz's son come out tough guys where they're always looking to beat people down and they're like this? Brian Cage, come on, man. This is the size of his finger. And then the lights go out. The music hits. Snow is coming down from the rafters. Sting comes out with the plastic bat. And they're like, and they walk away. They walk away. They were paralyzed by a 61-year-old man and a plastic baseball bat. Seriously, man? Come on. I like Sting back. But what does that say about Hobbs, Cage, Starks, Taz, and Sun? They look like goofs. They look like goofs. Sting didn't even like run after them with the bat. What did he do? He took the bat, went like this. Yes, I'll say it, Phil. AEW turned Team Taz tonight into pussies. I don't care how big of an AEW fan you are. I could see if this is Cody, Darby with some crazy-ass weapons, someone else, but when it's a 61-year-old man that the most energy that he has had so far with his body, other than walking out, is to lift his forearm to do this with the bat. Even I will say, you're turning Team Taz into a goddamn joke. And by the way, you advertised all week. Sting speaks tonight. Sting speaks tonight. I'm sorry. Maybe he did sign language. I don't remember. Even if maybe my volume was off and maybe he went like, I don't recall Sting talking tonight. But I did get a fantasy match tonight. A match that I've been wanting for 7.5 months. I got it tonight. I almost wanted to cry. I got to see it. Now, don't get me wrong. Ken, don't ruin my moment for a second. I'll answer what you said in a minute. Back in May, some of you may remember, Karrion Kross was making his in-ring debut for NXT. It was in May. And there was only one match that I wanted to see Karrion Kross have. Like grains going down the hourglass. Every victim would be a grain. And then when the hourglass goes to zero, Karrion Kross is the champion. Does anybody remember who that first grain on that that hour clock? I was so pumped up for it. Remember, I was asking people to give me ideas for an hourglass to put in the background. Anybody remember? Back in May, I posted this tweet. Like sands through an hourglass, so will be those who dare to cross. Here's hoping that the first grain tonight is Denzel DeJarnette. You remember the salad dressing? I wanted Karrion Kross to destroy Denzel DeJarnette. No, it's not a black and a white thing. I don't know. I never liked the name Denzel DeJarnette. It sounds like something you order in a restaurant. You know, let me get the steak and give me a side salad with a little bit of that Denzel DeJarnette dressing. Tonight, I got that match. Yes, I thought it would be Karrion Kross's first match. I didn't think it would be his first match of his return. And yes, Denzel is now known by Desmond Troy. I got that match tonight. I'm very happy. Yes, Karrion Kross destroyed Denzel DeJarnette tonight. I'm joking. I have nothing against Desmond Troy. He's actually very talented. And speaking of talented, You know, I hope some of you out there, and I'm only pulling up because I wrote a couple of tidbits of some promotions he's been in. There's two that stand out to me more than anything else. Tommaso Ciampa tonight took on Tyler Rust. And, you know, Tyler Rust, I'm going to just write opening thoughts about NXT and AEW. So just keep my timestamps. It's easier if I jot it now so I don't have to do it later, or I just reference it later. I fine-tune the times, obviously. Tyler Rust, you may have known him as Ryan Taylor. He's 33 years old. He actually appeared not too long ago on an episode of Raw. I think he might have teamed up with someone and got squashed by the Viking Raiders. But that match tonight was phenomenal. Now, remember this storyline that Malcolm Bivens is scouting Tyler Rust. And they had a great match tonight. I unfortunately think when we get into the quarter hour ratings on Friday, we will learn that fans probably changed the channel. Right now, WWE NXT fans are not invested in Tyler Rust. But Tyler Rust, just to give you some of the promotions, now I've seen a lot of his work in bar wrestling. So if you want to see some of his work, go on YouTube and just search a lot of his matches in bar wrestling. You'll realize, I mean, if you're not convinced tonight after what he did with Tommaso Ciampa that this guy actually is pretty damn good, he just needs to get a little bit of a personality in NXT, and I think this guy actually will leapfrog some people. But he's been in bar wrestling. He's been in CZW. He's been seen a couple of times on Impact Wrestling. New Japan, very recently in New Japan. In fact, I'm trying to remember. Who did... Somebody out there knows. Was it Rocky Romero? Did he recently beat Rocky Romero? I know he wrestled in New Japan very, very recently. But he's been in PCW, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and a few others. Now, the funny thing is the VPW that's listed. Remember, I worked VPW for about 40 shows. And he actually was wrestling for that promotion right at the same time I stopped doing the managing there. I got to check and see if it's the same promotion. I wonder if it is, because he also was working CZW, and CZW's Northeast too. So it'd be pretty interesting if it ends up that he was. But, you know, so that match tonight, though, was very, very good. Unfortunately, I don't think that was a match that really should have gone that long, especially when we're building up to New Year's Evil. It feels like we're going to get a return match between Ciampa and Thatcher at New Year's Evil. By the way, they did announce two matches tonight. One was the result of the match between Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly. You know, we were talking about, and look, I'll admit it, I honestly thought in storyline, it makes the most sense that Karrion Kross returns, never lost the title. The first thing he should have immediately in storyline gone for is for the belt. That should have been the first thing on his mind. Now, I could see if there was a little bit more between Damian Priest and Scarlett. You know, Karrion Kross beat him down last week, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Why? Because he said smoke show? You know, it wasn't enough. But you piss off a guy over his woman, you know, or a significant other. It doesn't have to be just a woman. You piss off someone that much, they'll put everything aside and just to take you down. So it felt like it wasn't enough to have Karrion Kross, you know, put his sights on a title aside to take out Damian Priest. But WWE's going to go the scenic route with this. Karrion Kross will be taking on Damian Priest at New Year's Evil. And tonight, Kyle O'Reilly defeated Pete Dunne to earn the right to face Finn Balor at New Year's Evil for the title. Now, let's be honest. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor, I don't think anybody will argue when I say this. They definitely are in the top 10 of matches of the year. Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. The first time I saw it that night, I think I was so wiped out that I didn't appreciate it as much as I wanted to or thought I should. I mean, I put it over that night in the review, but I watched it back and I said, man, this might be in my top five of matches of the year. The only problem is, you know that Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor are going to tweak the next match because these guys were so, there was so much like real physical contact. I mean, look, all matches are physically, with contact, but this was such a, just a stiff match. I mean, just hands on. It was an absolute brawl. They beat the shit out of each other. And look at the injuries that occurred. Yes, it's a freak injury, especially to Finn Balor. Kyle O'Reilly was banged up as well. But if they go balls out again, I mean, man, got to be really, really careful, especially with Finn Balor, with the situation with his jaw. Now, it's pretty much healed, and as we've brought up many times already, Finn Balor, when he has his match at New Year's Evil, that will be officially 13 and a half weeks since the last time he wrestled. 13 and a half weeks. That's over 3 months that he had that belt and didn't defend. It's not his fault. WWE, that's their fault. That is piss poor writing. There's a reason why numbers for WWE programming are dipping and dipping quite a bit. Fans are just not enamored with a lot of what's going on. But I will say this, Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne put on a clinic today. Man, I love that match. I get a lot of criticism because I say that Pete Dunne is a beast. Goofs out there. I mean, look, regular people, I have friendly debates over. I totally understand why some people disagree with me. But you got goofs out there that unless you're 6'10", 400 pounds or 350 pounds, unless you have three eyeballs, 15 toes, or just something really, really abnormally deformed about yourself, you can't be a beast. Pete Dunne is a beast. If any of these goofs that are in hiding, behind their profiles in social media, if they ever got to meet Pete Dunne, all Pete Dunne's got to go like this, and they'd be twisted into pretzels. Pete Dunne is fucking phenomenal. And I'm a little surprised that they went with the rematch. But then again, you look at it, where there's a lot of buzz now. Oh my God, they're going to do Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor again. That's like really like people are concerned that somebody may get hurt again. So we'll see. We'll see. So now let's talk about a couple other quick things. I got to wish a very special happy birthday to three people tonight. Some of you have heard me shout out Anna before. She's also known as Don Tony's political advisor. She's also known by Anna the Gay Banana. Today is her birthday, or yesterday was her birthday. So Anna, happy birthday. Much love as always. Very, very cool people. Very cool. She's very cool. Also want to shout out Andrew 914 and Cassette Classics. I know a lot of you on YouTube, you communicate, you chat with Cassette Classics. His birthday is this week. I don't know which day this week. Cassette, if you're live right now, do not super chat me to tell me when your birthday is. You don't need to do that. But happy birthday to all three of them. Enjoy it. Hopefully you're not getting inundated with this horrible weather, but all the best. And every one of you out there that celebrates this holiday season, Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever, Festivus, I say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, much love from yours truly. And I thank you for really helping me through 2020. Yes, I got outside work and did some jobs to just make sure the funds keep coming in. Yes, I sometimes come off as, a little bit too happy and confident, but trust me, all year has been abysmal, abysmal. Talk about a shitty 2020. And you guys out there really, really guided me in a lot of ways. The beginning of the year, we weren't even doing this YouTube. And at the end of the year, we're about to hit 17,000. I finally got a lot of that noise out of, my system. That's it. They rot and they're gone. And in January, we're going to make this YouTube page explode. Hopefully, pro wrestling can assist, because if pro wrestling sucks into 2021, it's not going to make this as easy as it could be. But, hey, you know, I tell you, like I said, you know, not everybody out there is an AEW fan. Not everybody out there is a Kenny Omega fan. But if you are, especially if you were fans of the Bullet Club back in the day, I'll show this one more time. January 16th, Impact Wrestling Hard to Kill. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers teaming up against Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. Now, in 2 weeks, they're going to have Kenny Omega take on Rey Fénix. Now, the funny thing about it, and be honest, you disagree with me, write something in the comment section. I interacted, I think, with almost every single person from Monday. Does it feel something majorly wrong going on right now with Kenny Omega's title reign? I know a lot of you don't like Vince Russo, but he brought up a point over a week ago, and I honestly think it's probably the most important point out of Kenny Omega's current title reign. Before I say what Vince Russo said, let me say this. Does it just feel like they have no feud for Kenny Omega? Because he fought Joey Janela tonight, and I'm a Joey Janela fan. A lot of you out there are as well. But this did not feel like an important match. You could add all the stipulations. If Joey Janela wins, he gets a future title shot. It's a no DQ match. Anything goes. It just did not feel important. You could have put it, if Joey Janela, he's got a strip if he loses. Yeah, all the fans get free shirts if he loses. No matter what stipulation put to it, did not feel very important. And then you don't have Impact Wrestling wrestlers show up either. And then randomly, for some reason, Pac is cutting a promo on Kenny Omega. Remember Rey Fénix? Because of his, you know, I don't want to say reckless, but his high risk, you know, high flying ability. Sometimes injuries happen. Shit happens. And I'm defending him. But Rey Fénix was out of that tournament. And if I remember correctly, didn't Pentagon take his place? Didn't they even like tease like a little dissension between Pentagon and Rey? Now all of a sudden, no, you know, this man never got his shot. So in 2 weeks, I got it approved from Tony Khan. I don't even know what accent I'm doing. But did Pat get the memo that Rey Fénix, Pentagon, and himself are looked at as baby faces right now? Did that not feel like a baby face promo? And I know Pac is not your typical baby face, but man, I mean, okay, in 2 weeks, Rey Fénix and Kenny Omega will tear that shit up. Without a doubt, they will tear it up. But it just feels like Kenny Omega's title reign is all over the place. And now I get to Vince Russo's remark that, honestly, I'd love for you out there that despise Vince Russo to, in the comment section, yes, I'm trying to get people to be interactive in this and that. You know, the more interactive you are here, the more it helps us get a little exposure. I mean, but I'm being serious. I don't manipulate you, but I really mean this. For the people that despise Vince Russo this much, defend this. Defend the fact that Jon Moxley has been this unhinged maniac in AEW, where he enters from the side, he does what he wants, he causes chaos, he cut all those promos about this, and that. He loses the title, and they tried to play it off that it was a screw job, and Moxley goes home. Now, it's not his fault. This is AEW's writing. Defend Moxley not appearing the last 2 weeks. The first person that we should have seen on AEW television last week or the week before, right after, the week after he lost the title, especially when they tried to put over the screw job thing, the first person that we should have saw was Moxley. And even if you want to do something WWE-esque where he's got a chair in the ring and he's not leaving the goddamn ring until Kenny Omega goes out there and he gets a rematch and this, that guy, there should have been five vignettes throughout the night of him causing chaos in the back, just beating the shit out of people, causing destruction, this, this, and that. But he's home. No, it's not a freeze frame. Defend that. Defend that. In 2 weeks, AEW fucked up Moxley's character. This unhinged. Why'd he go home? They should have taken him out on a stretcher if that was the case. He should have punch Tony Khan in the face or something so outrageous that he is suspended for 30 days. But no, he just decides, no, I'm going to stay home. I know his wife is pregnant before anybody brings that up. I'm talking storyline here. It makes, I'm surprised that people thought that the screen froze because me, you know, I always fear, you know, that I have some, a little bit of, because I get older. Like if you look very closely at my hands, you'll actually see that they shake a little bit. I think it happens to all of us as we get older. So I always feel like, you know, I can't like stay completely still. But be honest. In 2 weeks, they fucked up Moxley. I know a lot of wrestling fans don't think that deep. They just want a fun show, and that's it. Turn the TV off, go to bed, they're happy. But you got to look at this in the bigger picture. There's a lot of instances like this. Tonight, did I hear this correct, Excalibur? And notice I have no notes. This is how many things that stuck in my head like glue tonight. Excalibur, tonight, did he say that Big Swall is the number one contender? What happened to all this shit with Abaddon and Hikaru Shida the last month? And after all of this, I mean, I understand. You know, when Britt Baker said, look, if you really want more women's wrestling, you can't change the channel and this, this, and that. So the number one woman in AEW, that is Hikaru Shida, and she's not number one because she's champion. She's number one because of her ability as well. And for the last month or so, the best you have for the week before Christmas is Hikaru Shida's in action next week. They're fucking up Hikaru Shida. They fucked up Team Taz. And yes, a lot of this is repairable. But do you see how many people we're talking about here? Look at all the big men in AEW. They have a very difficult time having big men pushed like big men, unless it's in the back and Lance Archer is putting people through the ceiling. But in the ring, why would Lance Archer and Pac have a little bit of a disagreement today? Because I want to beat him up first. I want to beat him up first. That happens in the hood. No, 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 motherfucker. Let me slit his throat. No, 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 no. I'm going to fucking be the one to cut his finger off. No, no, no. I'm going to be the one to fucking hit him with a baseball bat. Fucking wrestling ring. Matt Hardy tonight. You see a little bit of the shift. Future heel turn. Now, Private Party have been talking for months that Matt Hardy is their inspiration. They love the Hardys. Remember the dedication vignettes about Matt Hardy and the Hardys and well, everything they said? So if Matt Hardy told him to lick that sweat off the floor, because they're in the ring with Matt Hardy and they look up to him that much, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because Matt Hardy wants to get the pin tonight, and Matt Hardy is ecstatic that his team got a win. You got these two goofs. Look at, and I am a big fan of Private Party. If you're new to the show, do not take this out of context. But tonight, they have their arms raised, and they're looking at Matt Hardy like, why is he so energetic? Do people forget when they took on the Young Bucks way back when? They hit one move in synchronicity, in sync, whatever. And you thought that if they would have died in the ring, and I'm sorry that sounds morbid, they would have been ecstatic. If I died right now, my fantasy's been filled. There's nothing that could beat tonight. If I die tomorrow, it's okay. You know, I had such a great night tonight. Now, Matt Hardy celebrated, and yes, Matt Hardy's over-accessing it. That's the storyline. But, man, make it a little bit more sense. I mean, Matt Hardy should have been instructing them throughout. And now, look, I'm not telling Matt Hardy what to do, obviously. But this should have been more of a storyline where he keeps taking the advantages. You know, how many times you see someone who doesn't really wrestle? Let's say, this is a bad example, but Michael Cole. Didn't they do stuff with him and Jack Swagger, that Jack Swagger was beating up people, and then Michael Cole would tag himself in just to throw a kick or something, and then tag right out? That's what people do with stuff like that. So Matt Hardy should have been, whenever somebody was down, he tags himself in, does something quick, and then tags himself out, lets them all do the work, and you build that, not just because they're celebrating and because he got the pin. Trust me when I tell you, I brought this up last week, and I am a big AEW fan. Everybody knows that. But last week, we pointed out that every match, every single one, after the match was over, there was some type of confrontation or post-match attack or attempted attack. There was a clusterfuck after every match tonight. I think there might have been one match tonight that we did not get that. But you see all of these little things. And because a lot of this is repairable, you're willing to put it aside. You know, it's growing pains of this and that. But, you know, we're not just talking about 19 and 20-year-olds. We're talking about wrestlers who have been in the ring for 10, 20 years. And, man, like I said, at the end of the night tonight, I'm like, how do you take Team Taz seriously? Darby Allin, you know, I like that he had the little grin at Sting, but at the very end, to try to come off as intense, did you see this towards the end? I thought he took melatonin. I mean, when Sting, right before they went to commercial, they kept flashing on Darby Allin, and his eyes were almost closing. Go back and look, a lot of little things that annoyed me tonight. Maybe I didn't have that much material, but even if we were doing a five-hour show, I still would have said what I said tonight. Now, we got a little dilemma for next week. I want your opinion. I will take your advice. Now, for those that are on the archive that are not live right now, I'm sorry. That's why sometimes you should tune in live, because you could actually help influence the show even more. We got a little dilemma about next Wednesday Night Dynamite. I always do these shows Wednesday night, 10:05 p.m., right after NXT and AEW are on TV. Next week, NXT airs in its normal time slot, 8 o'clock p.m. on USA. AEW does not air next week until 10 o'clock at minimum. The NBA is on next week primetime. AEW is airing after the NBA. So as of right now, AEW next week airs between 10 p.m. and midnight. I do not want to do a live show next Wednesday at 10 o'clock, because I know a lot of you out there are going to want to see AEW at 10 o'clock. Yes, some NXT fans would love to just talk NXT. But it's not fair to everyone else out there to choose, do I check out this live and miss AEW, or do I watch AEW live? So here's my thinking for all of you out there. Next Thursday is the 23rd of December. Next Thursday is the 24th of the... Sorry. Next Thursday is Christmas Eve. So here's my thinking. Should I do Wednesday Night Dynamite? I could do this three ways. I narrowed it down to three. Either I could do an afternoon show that Thursday, because I am going home from the office at 12 noon. Christmas Eve, I always close early. Now, I'm not going to do it late at night because, obviously, I'm going to spend it with family. So here's the three choices for all of you out there. Next week, I can either A or one, I could do Wednesday Night Dynamite, Thursday afternoon, where we'll cover AEW and NXT from the night before. If the afternoon is not good, we can do the nighttime. Wrestling Soup is on the air until 9 p.m. So I could do it Thursday night at 9 o'clock and do the show live for everybody out there. I could also do a pre-recorded episode. So those are the choices. I could either do a pre-recorded episode and just put it online Thursday evening for everybody to enjoy. Or if you want to interact with me, I could do it Thursday afternoon, let's say 3 p.m. Eastern. Or I could do it Thursday night around 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's up to all of you. So either pre-recorded, Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Because remember, it's Christmas Eve. I know a lot of you out there are going to be getting stuff together, spend with family. So I don't expect a lot of you to be around like 9 o'clock on a Thursday night. So, yeah, I could take the night off, but I'm probably going to take off Christmas Day, which is the Don Tony show. So I would like to do, unless we did a Saturday show. Maybe we do a Saturday show and we cover. So I'm putting it out there. You all live, I'm looking at your feedback right now, and quite a few of you are saying pre-recorded. So that kind of works for me. But in the comment section, for anybody that's not live, post what you would prefer too. And, you know, pretty much majority rules. I have a feeling it's either going to be pre-recorded Thursday, then that means I could do it anytime I can Thursday, or I'll do it Thursday afternoon. But like I said, I think because people are going to be in transit, you know, wrapping stuff, preparing, cooking, you know, maybe coming home from work late, more I think about it, maybe it's better I do a pre-recorded one. No, I probably would still do one Saturday. And since I'm not doing it Friday for the Don Tony show, since it's Christmas Day, I could still do Saturday evening. And we don't have to wait until the wee hours in the morning or late at night. We could do Saturday night at like 7 p.m. You know, there's no other shows going on at that time. The only time I don't want to do it is against Wrestling Soup, because that's their time slot, and I don't do that to friends. So, all right, so we'll see. I mean, obviously, I'll post an announcement in the next day or two. So we have Friday show still. We have Monday's Breakfast Soup Raw. So we have two shows still. And we got the pay-per-view Sunday. So I have plenty of shows coming up where I can let you know multiple times. Look, just a reminder, blah, 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 blah. And there's a reminder, once again, Friday SmackDown is on FS1. It is not on Fox because of sports as well. So, by the way, shout out to everybody. Whether it's live, archive, I thank you. And if you're enjoying this episode, and if you're on Patreon, you know what I'm going to say already. But a lot of you out there send me feedback, ideas, criticism, suggestions, and I appreciate it all. And I had someone who has a very big podcast on YouTube. I don't want to say who he is, but friend of the family. And he said to me, he goes, DT, you ask people to give you a thumbs up or hit the like button, you know, say it a little bit differently and explain to them that the more people that give it a thumbs up, every time you do that, that's a recommendation. You're telling YouTube that you recommend this show. Whether you liked it or disliked, you still interacted with it. So this person said to me that when I ask all of you if you're enjoying the show, give it a thumbs up or hit that like button, it's because when you do that, you're helping me by telling YouTube, hey, I recommend this show, I gave it a thumbs up, and the more recommendations, the more likely I pop up on other people's feeds. And I can only imagine what it must feel like when I pop up on the haters' stuff. What is this on my feed for? So if you like the show, you know, I appreciate it very much. So let's do a couple of shout-outs, and then let's get into these reviews, because we already did an hour. Time flies, so I'd like to be done in the next 30 minutes, and I will. Shout out to Puffy89 once again, my friend. Thank you for the support. Ken terminated by DQ. How is it more believable when Rob Van Dam, Bill Alfonso, and Sabu walked away when Taz came to the ring? Because Taz at that time was in his 30s. He was the human suplex machine. That guy was a badass motherfucker. He did the whole storyline. He was choking out MMA guys and other people. I mean, Taz was the human suplex machine. Like I said before, if Sting was running after him with the baseball bat, you mother, you know, or he could do the best of both worlds. He could run after him with the bat and go, ow, you know. But no, he comes out and he walks slower than a turtle. Seriously, if he had a running race with a turtle, I think Myrtle the Turtle would win. He comes out, there's no energy spent. Seriously, if he wears one of those Fitbits, and right before he comes down, he looks at the Fitbit and it says, you have burned 1,210 calories. When the segment is over and it goes in the back, it says, you have burned 1,210 calories. The guy doesn't move. You know, I could see it. Maybe he's got to come out with a machine gun. Seriously, he's a 61-year-old guy with a plastic bat. You know, think of what Cody said. We'll never have a general manager. We wouldn't insult the fans' intelligence like that. So you mean to tell me that Sting's bat, that shoot interviews and interviews and funny shows and Q&As and all this stuff where everybody made fun of the plastic bat, that we're all supposed to forget, no, that was plastic. This is real. I mean, you know, at least... Remember the Naked Gun, Leslie Nielsen? And I'm only thinking this because I saw the movie again for the 98th time the other day. But you remember that part where he accidentally took out the weapon? And when he was he the umpire? He wasn't Enrico Palazzo. I think he was the umpire. Remember he took out the gun and everything? He's safe. Yeah, that's what it was. He was the umpire. Three. Remember the Angels? They played the baseball game. He was safe. He was out. He was safe. He was out. He takes out the gun. No, he's safe. He's safe. Maybe that's what Sting's got to do. He's got to come out with a black Uzi. So this way, Team Taz, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to shove that plastic bat up your ass, motherfucker. And then he whips out, you know, I don't know. He whips out a different weapon. And then Team Taz, oh, okay. Do what you want. Leave. I mean, think about that. But it's Sting, so our intelligence can be insulted. Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. And when you fuck up the credibility of Team Taz, seriously. I mean, what's next? Team Taz is going to beat up five on one in the ring, and because snow comes down, they're going to all freeze like a bad horror film. They're going to be beating people down. Then shit. Come on, man. We're not 9 years old. We're not stupid. You know, it's supposed to be suspension of disbelief, man. A little bit too much. So I hope I answered your question, Ken. It's a lot different. Yeah, Brandon Cutler took a shot at JR. Mish and I had a very detailed discussion about this on Monday. Tomorrow, I am going to take that discussion, that snippet, from Monday's show, and it will be a separate clip over here on the channel. It is a very, I swear to God, I talked to Mish yesterday afternoon, and the first words out of his mouth is, DT, you got to put that discussion that we did about Jim Ross by itself. I said, no, Mish, I am. But then today, with everything going on, I don't know if you can hear. Could you hear that ice in the background? Seriously, I don't want to do this, but listen to this. I just check this out. See, let me know if you can hear this. You hear it? That's ice going against my window right now. But I will give you the cliff notes of what we said on Monday. I give Brandon Cutler credit for putting his name behind what he said. I give Jim Ross credit for putting his name behind what he said. But these other websites that claim they got statements from AEW wrestlers who wish to be named anonymous, honestly, anybody that does that is a pussy, is an absolute pussy. You cannot criticize JR for criticizing moves, and then you don't have balls enough to put your name behind what you are saying. In my opinion, if you notice tonight, it actually was tweaked a little bit. If you notice when Rey Fénix dived outside the ring during his match, did you notice that the Butcher, you know, was not prepared for it? When they were doing the post-match stuff, they weren't prepared for it. Eddie Kingston, when they did all that stuff and you saw flips hit, they did not stand there and wait. There was one time where you saw like two people like get in position. But tonight, even Matt Hardy, something happened outside the ring. And even JR said Matt Hardy didn't expect that coming. They fixed some of that tonight. Basically, for those that don't know the segment, like I said, what we talked about on Monday was beautiful. I mean, the discussion was just one of the best that we've had. But JR is complaining about the choreographing, you know, where somebody jumps up and dives and everybody's standing there waiting to catch the person. But the problem is, Jim Ross was not just talking about AEW. Jim Ross was talking about wrestling in general. And the reason why AEW wrestlers got upset is because he works for AEW. But people took it that he was just ripping AEW. Look at NXT TakeOver War Games. I complained. When Io Shirai put the pail over her head, you know, and I even put the still shot up. I think Rhea Ripley was the only one that had her head turned the other way. But she probably saw it in the corner of her eye, and she to make it look unexpected. But you looked at everybody else, that picture of Io Shirai with the garbage pail over her head. You look at everybody else, everybody's like this. Not good. Not good. You see it in other promotions as well. Crowbar just put a picture up where some guy was giving a suplex, and they were standing on the backs of like four wrestlers, and there was like 15 other wrestlers in the ring, all bent over, waiting to fall like dominoes because of a suplex. That's what Jim Ross was talking about. Brandon Cutler and others took offense to that. And I think it was FTR that stepped up and said, that defended Jim Ross. Jim Ross was 1,000% right about it. But the bigger problem is that there's some very young people in wrestling that do not respect the elders. They do not respect people who have paved the way, whether it's in the ring or on the mic or in management. They do not respect. They don't. And the thing is that even me, an absolute nobody, when I started doing managing stuff in wrestling, and I've brought this up before, you know, in fact, there was an Abdullah the Butcher documentary around 2006. There was a little clip, and they had segments of the backstage of the USA Pro Wrestling locker room, and it was all about Abdullah the Butcher. And if you go back and you watch that, you actually will see me walking up to three different, I don't remember who the wrestlers were, but you see me in the back, right on the side, walking up to three people. Hey, how's it going, Anthony? Hey, how's it going, Anthony? You actually see me go like this three times, because even though I sucked at any little thing that I did do, the one thing that Frank and a lot of other wrestlers, Louie and everybody else, always said to me, goes, look, when you're in the back, you walk up to every person, you introduce yourself, you shake their hand. If they want to say something to you, you might remember that I talked about the Sandman that a lot of people don't like because of his sexist remarks not too long ago. But one of my fondest memories of the Sandman, other than getting Singapore Cane by him, was he did a show for Mr. Big's promotion. It was in Spanish Harlem. Mr. Big's still alive. He does his own podcast, and I know some of you tune into it. Ask him if I'm making this up. I was in the back, nervous as hell, getting ready for whatever I was going to do. And I went into the locker room, and there is the Sandman in front of about 15 young guys that were all ticket sellers that had really no experience in wrestling at all. And he is giving all of them little pieces of advice. do this, stress this. If you don't have this, do this. He did that for about 15 minutes, and I was just in awe. This guy took and was just trying to help. He didn't know any of them. And I brought that up on these shows many times over the years. So you gotta, even if you get bad criticism, even if somebody from 20 years ago, 30 years ago has no clue of what they're talking about today, unless it's racist, unless it's sexist, you just like, yes, sir, thank you, thank you. And then when they leave the room, fuck's this guy talking about? But, you know, when you have websites that are willing to put up anonymous statements, you know, these people got big balls. And you know what? Even though I give Brandon Cutler, can't get out of my head Jim Cornette calling him Cutlet. But even though I give Brandon Cutler credit to put his name behind what he said, I thought it was karma today that he was taken off of the match because Wardlow could not appear today. Wardlow had a family situation. We don't know anything more of it. Maybe it's just weather. I don't know. But Wardlow could not compete tonight. So instead of it being a 14-man 7-on-7 match, it was this 12-man 6-on-6 match. And because Wardlow could not compete, they had to take one person off of the other side. And Cutlet was filleted off of the show. So even though, like I said, I give him credit for speaking up, but Jim Ross was 100% right. Tomorrow I'll put up that clip. If you go check out Monday's show, I have the timestamps. So just click the timestamp and enjoy. Believe me, it was that good of a discussion. So anyway, let's get into these shows a little bit. Let's fill in the blanks of some of the things that went down tonight. Opening match, Matt Hardy and Private Party beating Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds. A little comedy at the beginning. You have the Dark Order with like little straw cowboy hats. Kind of remind you a little bit of the hat that Kurt Angle had that time. You remember the whole thing with Vince and Steve Austin? You know, it was a little comical. They actually were a pretty good cohesive unit. And John Silver, you know, I know the Dark Order is supposed to be a serious, serious group, but he's got a lot of character, and he's a piece of art, man. And I like John Silver. And there was a little bit of comedy in the match. Look, Private Party is still very, very young. But, you know, little by little, they will iron things out. And, you know, as I said earlier, you know, the match ended with Matt Hardy basically tagging himself in. Private Party hit Alex Reynolds with the gin and juice. And before they could go for the pin, Matt Hardy tagged himself in and took the pin. I understand where the storyline is going. I just wish it would have told a little bit more of a storyline during the match. There was one spot that kind of annoyed me. I was going to just not even say it, but I have a feeling people will go back and talk about it. The only thing I didn't like is there was one point where Matt Hardy, it looked like he hit the twist of fate outside the ring on John Silver. I don't care if you get a boo-boo on your knee. I don't care if your leg snaps in two. I don't care if you twisted your pelvis. I don't care if your penis got caught in your zipper. If you do the twist of fate, and the whole idea of that move is to make it look like your head is spiked into the concrete, the minute that move is done, you got to go like this. You go back and you look at it. John Silver, I think his knee hit the apron as he went down, and instead of immediately grabbing his head for getting spiked on the concrete, he grabbed his knee. Hey, boo-boo. You get a boo-boo on my knee. I didn't like it. You got to sell the, exactly. AJ Blair, exactly. You got to sell the move, not the injury. You could sell both, you know, but that stuck out to me. And me, just as a regular casual fan sitting from home, if I noticed that, a lot of other people noticed that as well. But, you know, fun opening match. Don't complain. Oh, AJ and others, yeah, they noticed it as well. You know, little things like that, you know, are a big deal. Are a big deal. I mean, look, I cut a lot of slack for Private Party. I cut a lot of slack for Top Flight. And I cut slack for the Acclaimed. because their experience is very, very minimal so far in their careers. I truthfully believe that all three tag teams are going to be really big stars if they just keep doing what they're doing and build on it. I was very surprised tonight how many people did not like the Acclaimed. They didn't like the rap. They didn't like the use of the boombox. They didn't like it. I mean, there was a lot of retro John Cena thugonomics feel on it, because I even think, you know, when they were trashing the Young Bucks after the match is over, they used the word cuck, and then they were going to finish it with fuck, and then they stopped because of TV. But I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I had no problem with it. And it's funny. Somebody asked me this the other day for the Q&A for next week. Out of those three tag teams, which one do I like the most? Honestly, the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed. In fact, I like them so much that I'm thinking about, at the very end of the year, doing a full-blown rap. You know, similar to like what John Cena used to do with Thugonomics, or do with the Acclaimed. But since they're always insulting people, like I might just throw some insults out there. I'm not sure if I'll do it yet. But, you know, with a beat and everything. You know, a lot of you remember from Breakfast with Blasi when David Otunga back in the day. Remember that rap? They say it's mean to say you're green, but you got to leave WWE. You might think that you're the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. I don't know. We'll see. I did the night before TLC or whatever I said on Monday. I did a little sting. So anyway, Cody hits the ring, and Justin Roberts announces him as the future father. So we find out that him and Brandy are expecting. Congratulations to both of them again. Cody defeats, and not Angelico, I always say Angelico, Angelico, with Jack Evans. It was a decent match. It was okay. I didn't like at the very end when Cody hit the cutter. If you look at Angelico, he reminded me of Indy Hartwell. Like, he gets up and he just looks. That extra second. And that's why I say, you give a little bit more slack now, because they're not wrestling as much as they normally do during the year. So timing is off a little bit. But I agree with you, AJ. I like that they did not bury Angelico. Say what you want about AEW. Sometimes where someone should, crush someone, they have a long match. Remember Miro, the first match he had? That match went way too long. Should have ended like this. But sometimes they let someone really show what they can do. The Varsity Blondes last week against FTR, you know, they didn't get that much offense in, but they got enough where you saw why people, you know, really, especially Brian Pillman Jr., why people really are into his shit. But enough where they can showcase, but not old X Division style. We used to complain about the X Division matches. Remember when I even got the chance to say this the other day again. Everybody was the Undertaker in those X Division matches, those Ultimate X matches. Because what would happen is you'd hit someone with their finisher, they'd fall on the floor, and because they're so excited, it's like a little kid when midnight hits and they're allowed to run to the Christmas tree to open the gifts. They get hit with somebody's finisher, they land on the ground, and then they realize, oh, me next, and they jump up, like Undertaker. They all jump up. They get hit with, you could have hit somebody over the head with a baseball bat that their teeth could have flew onto Jacksonville Boulevard. And they'd hit the floor for like 1 second, my turn, and they get up. At least now, these guys, they're letting them do a little bit, and when they do get hit with some people's signature moves, they're out. So Cody beats Angelico. After the match, nothing more I could add to it. Team Taz comes out. They say they're going to put Cody on paternity leave, And then Sting comes out, you know, burned 2 calories on his Fitbit, points the bat, and they leave. And what happened to Sting speaks tonight? Yeah, he spoke. Yeah, he spoke. Miedo was interviewed. Yeah, this is another segment I don't like. Yeah, that's why I think Cody sometimes needs to shut up. I know he means well, but segments like Miedo's tonight, all I keep thinking in my head was Cody. No, we would never have a general manager. We would never have an authority figure because we're not going to insult the fans' intelligence. They know. They know. We're not going to insult. So we're supposed to believe now that Miro got fined $75,000, $25,000 for each person. But you forget not too long ago, the Young Bucks were super kicking people's mothers, sick grandmothers, pets with Brovid, and nothing happened. He got fined $75. Now, if you really wanted to entertain me, AEW, tonight, you really want to be a scumbag and be funny, you shouldn't have said $75,000. What is, what, anybody could, you know what, I got to get a, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, I could do it. Let me see. Does this computer have a calculator? Let's take $75,000, all right, and let's divide it by quarters. That would be 300,000 quarters. Now, if I was AEW tonight and I was Alex Marvez, Miro, because of what you did last week, AEW has fined you 300,000 quarters. $75,000. Michael Gonzalez, does my tree come with music? No, it's got like 9 settings. I have it on like combination settings, so it just randomly like does different things just to mix it up a little bit. I got it on Amazon. Somebody actually gifted it to me. Somebody that listens to the show said, I want to get you a little tree for the background so that it feels like there's a little Christmassy. And he said, pick one out. So I picked the cheapest one out that had some lights. It was like $20. It's $20. It's got 8 different light settings. So when you see like different things, light setting, you could leave it on that one setting. But for $20, I thought it was good. The only thing that sucked, with all due respect, was this. Was this. You know why? Because the top branch, I could have cut it. The top branch is all the way up here. It's all the way up here. And then it would block part of me. The bow tie, this was a little bit too high. So I could have cut the branch and put this, but I think it looks nicer without the star. Star. So Miro is fined $75,000, and next week in AEW Dark, he's going to take on Sonny Kiss. How come Miro didn't attack Sonny Kiss tonight when Joey Janela? Just thinking. Eddie Kingston comes to the ring. I think the preview was he was going to address his enemies. He talks about his first enemy being God because he's still alive. His second enemy is Pac. And next thing you know, the Butcher, the Blade, the Bunny, they all come out because Lance Archer hits the ring and Lance Archer's going at it with Eddie Kingston a little bit. But then we get the Lucha Bros come out. Pac comes out. And when you think about it, they were one-man advantage. The baby faces had one-man advantage. So you look outside the ring, you have Lance Archer, I think it was Lance Archer and Pac, beating the shit out of Eddie Kingston. Should have been the opposite. Usually the heels are the ones with the one-up. I mean, let me put it this way. I like Dave Meltzer. I have been a subscriber of his newsletter for years and years and years. I will never forget the generosity he did when I did the charity drive, the fundraising drive after Chris Candido passed, all the newsletters that he gave me for free to give away. So I say this with respect, but him and Brian Alvarez went out of their way to criticize the women's NXT War Games match because the two baby faces were beating down Dakota Kai. They went out of their way to make this a big deal. I want to see if when they do their AEW recap, if they criticize the fact that the babyfaces tonight had a one-man advantage and it ended up because you had the two-on-two in the ring and because the Butcher and the Blade have to go up with the Lucha Bros or whatever it is, that outside the ring you had Lance Archer and Pac beating the shit out of Eddie Kingston. See, I'm a straight-up person over here. I'm fairly reasonable. You know, I will praise what I like. I will criticize what I like. And I don't mind saying it gets me enemies, obviously. You know, I mean, you see, you know, but I'm straight up on both sides. I want to see if he calls it out. Benjamin, he's saying, stop refusing to bury Meltzer. I just criticized Meltzer and Alvarez. I don't think they suck. I've been a fan of Meltzer's for decades. I've known for decades that Meltzer is a big fan of Japanese wrestling. I understand that he is a huge fan of AEW, as was Mike Johnson towards Kurt Bauer and MLW 18 years ago, as was other people towards Ring of Honor, as was other people towards wrestling. Oh my God, Wrestling Society X. You had to see it. They all look like stray cats, like hoping that somebody throws a piece of ham out the window, looking for attention from that promotion. There's nothing new. If Dave Meltzer rubs you the wrong way and you don't like any of his stuff, just don't pay attention to it. But I'm actually giving an opinion right now. I want to see if he calls that out tonight. I want to see if he calls it out tonight. So anyway, Dustin Rhodes interviewed, and he said that them bringing up Seven was a bad idea last week. Calling him the third most important Rhodes in AEW was a bad idea. So now he wants Evil Uno next week. So next week, we will get Dustin versus Evil Uno. I tell you, man, 2020 is a weird year, a very weird year, that by the end of 2020, I actually like Evil Uno, and I actually could tolerate Cameron Grimes now. Something weird is going on. I couldn't stand either. Remember I called it Evil Pizza Uno? Then everybody, you know, started using that, Evil Pizza Uno. So, miedo. I was a miedo. I think that's like a Spanish term also. Isn't it like miedo? I don't know. By the way, did you see Indy today? She's a woman of very few words. You know, I think she was able to put together three or four words today. Inner Circle defeats the makeshift tag team of Best Friends, Top Flight, and the Varsity Blondes. You know, it was a clusterfuck. I mean, I guess all this was done was to try to tease a little bit, maybe more of Guevara and MJF. There was a segment during the night MJF had, I believe he was a nominee on the New York Times for that segment. I didn't know he won. So I think that plaque was something that they had made up, probably from personalcreations.com. But he's got like this trophy thing. And, you know, originally, you know, it looked like he was taking all the credit. But then, you know, he was patronizing Jericho a little bit, you know, rubbing people the wrong way, obviously. And then at the very end, Jericho says, congratulations. But you could see where some of this is going. MJF patronizing people. MJF comes across, the best way I could describe how this feels right now is you have a sorority house and you got a bunch of guys that are in the sorority house and everybody gets along great. And then the leader of the sorority house brings in a friend of his that is just an absolute pain in the ass, just really annoying. I'm thinking Revenge of the Nerds, not like that, but, you know, just very annoying. And he tells everyone, look, you know, just let him stay. You know, let him stay. He's not that big of a deal. All right, we'll let him stay. You know, that's what MJF is. He's not a nerd. You know, I'm not saying he's a nerd, but, you know, I just I like to get that in once in a while. It's kind of like a release, you know. But that's what MJF is. He's the annoying person that you let him stay for dinner, you know. Or it's like an old 80s sitcom where somebody visits and everybody hates him. Like, oh, just let him stay for the day. And he comes over and he's annoying as fuck. So King Kong, I have no idea what you're talking about, Mystery Man, but I'll go with it. King Kong. But, so that's what they did. And then, you know, at the very end, there was after-match brawl, and Top Flight goes, you know, with MJF and Jericho. And this is going to set up next week. I'll tell you, when I read the matches for next week, I'm curious of how you all feel about it, because I actually, you know, I don't have too much of a problem with the matches next week. It sounds like a fun, you know, Christmas Eve edition. Monday I talked about them doing the rendition, the recreation, you know, satire of the Christmas story and the list of characters. They're going to do a little stuff on TNT. You know, TNT is very, I tell you, even with the management change, it feels like TNT is very receptive as far as what AEW is doing. You could feel like there is some positive vibes going on over there. So shout out to Anthony Diaz. Oh, a quick fuck, marry, kill. Cameron Grimes, Evil Uno, and Dave Meltzer. First of all, I enjoy my M&Ms without peanuts, so I really don't even know how to answer this. If I was a woman or if I was bisexual or gay, I would probably, I don't know, man. I can't answer that, man. How am I going to answer that? Like, I can't, like, I'm just picturing to myself, like, which one I would sleep with? I can't. Could we do something different? How's about like read, delete, or kill? Have coffee, have lunch, how's about have coffee, have dinner, have a late night snack? Is that better? Can we do that? Because I would have coffee with Evil. No, I would have coffee with Evil Uno because he wouldn't be able to drink it because he's got the mask on. So you would just sit there and I would drink coffee and then I'd probably be able to drink his too. So I would have dinner with Dave Meltzer and pick his brain. Oh, no, I wouldn't have a late night snack with Cameron Grimes. I'd have coffee with Cameron Grimes and I would just dump it in his face just to see him run away. And maybe Dexter Lumis could draw me a picture of me throwing the coffee in his face. I'm stumped. Yeah, I'm stumped. It's not easy to get, and I'm not trying to be politically correct. Like, I can't sit here and say, man, I wonder how Evil Uno is in the sack, you know? Maybe I would marry Evil Uno if he actually could cook like Pizza Uno. I used to love Pizza Uno. But go figure, man. Go figure that the live viewers went up 25 while I'm talking about fuck, marry, kill, Cameron Grimes, Evil Uno, and Dave Meltzer. Give Anthony Diaz credit for that one. Give him credit for that one. Now one person left. Maybe it was Cameron Grimes that ran away. So I tell you, it's a weird year that I actually, like I said, I'm going to close out the year tolerating Cameron Grimes and actually enjoying Evil Uno. I tell you, I saw this guy playing video games. He did some cameos, saw a couple of things he did on YouTube. I'm like, this guy's actually like pretty cool. Evil Uno's pretty cool. I'm not kidding. There's something about him. It's weird. It's almost like White Castle. Like, there's something about it you just enjoy. You don't know what it is. You don't know why it is, but you just enjoy it. Evil Pizza Uno is like White Castle. All right, so next week they're setting up Top Flight versus MJF and Jericho, by the way. So that's one of the matches they announced later on. Now we get Thunder Rosa, you know, the every 2 week thing that I tell you about. She's being interviewed, asking why she, how her reaction is to Britt Baker saying she doesn't belong. Thunder Rosa recaps what happened 5 weeks ago, and I'm exaggerating. They're in a parking lot, And when you think of a parking lot, there's not like a wall like right next to where they were. They were in the center of the parking lot. So how do you not see like Reba? How do you miss Reba and Britt Baker? Like, just imagine if they had the wide angle of that camera, or if they showed like hidden footage from a different angle. You'd have Britt Baker running like a marathon mile to get from like the entrance to the parking area. Like, you know, when you park your car and there's no spots, and you got to park all the way in the back, and it's so far back that it's, you don't even have like shelter anymore. It's in sunlight. That's where they were standing. I'm like, where did they come from? Were they hiding like underneath a sewer? So anyway, Thunder Rosa is talking about how Britt Baker interfered and that she belongs, and, you know, makes you wonder what her future is in NWA, makes us wonder what NWA's future is. And next thing you know, they attack her, and they're pouring water on Reba's pouring water on Thunder Rosa's face, and Britt Baker is rubbing it so all her face paint comes off. I mean, you know, it's more to, you know, it's just like you're embarrassing someone. I mean, it's not like Thunder Rosa has magical powers that you rub the face paint off and she becomes an invalid. It's more of embarrassing, like you left her looking like a mess. This obviously is setting up a match between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Look, Thunder Rosa against somebody's shadow, I probably would be interested in. She's awesome. And if Thunder Rosa ends up becoming a regular in AEW, man, that would be a huge, huge plus. And remember, Thunder Rosa, she's got a lot of outside projects, including her school. She doesn't want to give that up. So if AEW works out a deal with her and she's no longer under NWA contract and she can do her outside projects, that would be a really big grab. And that really just leaves, if you really think about it, Tessa Blanchard as the one person out there that nobody has picked up. Yes, we're still in COVID, and that's probably part of the reason why. But, you know, right now, outside of AEW and WWE, I put Tessa Blanchard 1, Thunder Rosa 2. You could flip-flop either one, and I would be fine with it. We'll see what happens. SCU doing the job for the Acclaimed. Anthony Bowens and Max Caster, I like them. I told you about a month ago, keep them on your radar. They might leapfrog Top Flight and Private Party. There's a swagger about them. They're supposed to piss you off. They're supposed to annoy you. They're supposed to be cocky. Yes, it's a little retro, but I like it. And they could back it up in the ring. Them using the boombox as a way to get the cheap win, that's fine. I think the only thing, if you ask me, and you got to understand something, I have in my house, you've seen pictures of it, I have four, and this is not a joke, maybe next week I'll bring one in the room for you to see. I have four boomboxes that were built. One was built in the late 70s, and the other three were built in the early 80s. Each boombox is about this big. They are huge. One of them is worth $1,000, and it is all screwed up because, like, it's like the holy grail of boomboxes. I've had them for, like, 30 years. So I would love for them, because I got one with colored lights and everything that would look awesome as a retro. The problem with having a boombox like that is what you saw tonight. They use it as a weapon. So you can't have this gigantic boombox, especially when it's metal and plastic, and then tease that you hit somebody with it. Because if you really connect, you're going to cause some major damage to somebody. So, I'll bring one. It's impossible for me to bring in all four. I don't have any in this room, so I'll show you next week. Maybe tomorrow I'll take my camera and I'll just shoot like 30 seconds of video and I'll put it on Twitter. By the way, Friday, the video's on Twitter right now. On Friday, I'm going to show everybody how WWE ripped me off for over $100. I got video proof of it too. Sucks. I didn't want to show it, but I gave them 2 weeks to fix the problem. and they didn't fix the problem. So I posted it earlier today, and a lot of people got back to me, and they were like, that's fucked up. So anyway, so next week we have the Acclaimed versus the Young Bucks for the tag titles. As I said earlier, the Acclaimed called out the Young Bucks, who were sitting at ringside for some reason. Yeah, obviously because the Acclaimed insulted them last week, but you know, a lot of people insult the Young Bucks, and they don't sit ringside for no reason. So they call out the Young Bucks, make fun of them once again. I tell you the truth, I just realized it. The Acclaimed, just hit me. The Acclaimed need to start calling them one term. Just keep calling them the Young Cucks. I don't know if standards and practices were all happy with them using the word cuck, but they weren't saying it like in their name. They said that they were acting like cucks. But honestly, I think from now on, the Acclaimed should call them out and call them the Young Cucks if they're allowed to do that. So, yeah, the Young Cucks. But so we got that match next week. I mean, obviously, I don't think there's going to be a title change, but whatever. I'm looking forward to it. Evil Uno versus Dustin next week. Top Flight versus Chris Jericho and MJF. Hikaru Shida will be in action. And then you'll have Jurassic Express. FTR called out Jurassic Express today. Because you remember last week, they were at ringside, you know. So why not just have that match next week? But instead, next week, we're getting Jurassic Express against Colt Cabana, 5 and 10. Pac versus The Butcher next week. And in 2 weeks, we get Rey Fénix versus Kenny Omega. We also had tonight Serena Deeb and Big Swall being Ivelisse and Diamante. Man, talk about two women that you thought would be much further in, on the food chain AEW by now. Ivelisse and Diamante, it feels like they have done next to nothing with. You know, and then after the match is over, they're, you know, they're doing this attack with Nyla Rose and Red Velvet makes the save. I mean, I'm glad they're giving some people opportunities, but just the way they've utilized them up until now, it just looks like a hot mess. It looks like a hot mess. Then the main event, Kenny Omega defeating Joey Janela. No DQ, anything goes. The other stip is that Joey Janela, if he would have gotten the win, then he would have gotten a future title shot. The match, a little bit of hardcore. You know, Joey Janela putting Kenny Omega through a table looked like he dove right on his head, by the way, his face. Don Callis, who was at the commentator's booth for a couple of seconds, but then grabbed the mic, and he was doing on the main mic a lot of talking trash to Joey Janela and talking, praising Kenny Omega and putting it over. And, you know, it was okay. But like I said, you know, it's ass backwards, this storyline. You know, AEW, the commentators are acting all upset that Kenny Omega is showing up on Impact. But why is AEW, if they're so against it in storyline, why isn't security their staff in the back? Why are they not going out there and escorting Don Callis out? He's, you know, Impact says, oh, he's an executive producer, so yeah, he booked this match for the pay-per-view. But he's nothing. And I understand what you're going to say. Oh, well, Kenny Omega is a management as well. I get that. But you could do things in the back where somebody cuts his mic. You could do something in the back where some people are trying to cut him off or and get involved. And the worst part of it all, you start this thing with Impact Wrestling, and now they're off for the rest of the year, and you don't have, especially yesterday, with the whole thing with Rich Swann and everything else, that should have been the number one thing that they should have done tonight. Oh, this is going to air on Impact. Rich Swann, we need you on Dynamite or the Good Brothers or something to carry it over. And next week there's a best of. And Lord help me, if Impact Wrestling puts over the next 2 weeks for their best ofs, Lord help me if they put Kenny Omega as part of their best of for highlights of 2020. Oh, man. I'll fart live on camera how horrible that will sound, smell, look, yuck, yuck. But they close it out. Pac comes out with the Lucha Bros, or Rey Fénix, I should say. And he's reminding us that Rey Fénix couldn't be in the tournament. And I guess because of that, he gets a match against Kenny Omega. Tweet, the match is going to be good. But like I said earlier, Pac came across as a heel. And it just did not feel, it just felt thrown together. And Kenny Omega's been champ now for several weeks. And I tell you, it does not feel important. It doesn't feel as big. And Moxley not appearing, not irate, not trying to tear the promotion down, try to ruin everything, try to cause chaos. How horrible is that? What are they going to do? Have Moxley turn heel and he's all for Impact now? Like I said, when you really dissect this, a lot of stinky going on. NXT tonight, a lot simpler because they had a lot more longer matches. Opening match, and some of the matches were fun, but uneventful. Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory beating Kushida and Leon Ruff. Now, you know, after they just formed the way, that if they get a book a match involving Kushida, you know, they're trying to... By the way, what happened with Kushida's whole thing? Remember the thing with his family and everything? No, me take it seriously now. Me go for a championship. What has he done? Other than paying a lot of tributes to Back to the Future. I mean, WWE's done a horrible job with Kushida. Ever since his match with Velveteen Dream, they have done guts with Kushida. They promise all of these things, and then it doesn't deliver. Am I lying? I don't think I'm wrong. And then you have him team up with Leon Ruff, because you know Leon Ruff is the one that could be pinned out of all of this. Austin Theory, man, I don't know if his arms got bigger, but his arms are like this. I mean, if you look at this, just double that. He's like this. Holy cow. Well, and you know what? I'm not going to say who it is, but if you want to look for yourself, go on Twitter and type in Austin Theory. Look under Ringside News. Remember last week I talked about those jerk-offs, about how the Austin Theory thing, how they were handling it much differently than they did with Lars. Do you know one of those jerk-offs today retweeted something from a week ago that was talking about that video surfaced online of Austin Theory masturbating and stuff like that? Talk about clickbait. You wait 7 fucking days for Austin Theory to have his first match back since the quit storyline, and your most important thing is to go on social media and retweet an article a week old that reveals Austin Theory jerking off on a video? And you wonder why I criticize some people online. But anyway, everybody impressed in this match. They did give Leon Ruff a lot of offense in this match. But in the end, you know, we had Austin Theory hit a finisher, which he's calling now This Is The Way. And they defeat Kushida and Austin and Leon Ruff. You know, it was an okay match. A lot of video package. Like I said, you look at NXT and you realize how many video packages they have a week. They have like 6 to 8 video packages a week. They had a video package this week of El Legado del Fantasma. They had a video package hyping up Toni Storm against Rhea Ripley, which was the main event tonight. So we're up to 2 video packages already. They didn't even open up with the typical NXT opening. When they started NXT tonight, you had Kushida and Leon Ruff already in the ring. Not even your typical intro. Yeah, no, Blair, that really did happen. It did. I clicked on it, not because I wanted to see it, but I wanted to see if it was true. And when I clicked on it, you know, you see his eyebrows, you're like, okay, that's enough. 2 seconds, I said, that's enough. So, and by the way, I think that's leaked video. It's not that he posted it online or anything. I think that was leaked. Shotzi Blackheart cutting a promo on Candice LeRae and the trophy. And we find out that we're going to have a match later on between Shotzi Blackheart and Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell on a social media page earlier today just wrote one word, cleared. Like I said, she's one of very few words. She just wrote cleared. And you saw the neck brace on the floor. So next, the match I said earlier, Tommaso Ciampa beating Tyler Rust. Nothing I could add early other than it was a phenomenal match. If you want to see more of Tyler Rust, go on YouTube. There is tons of work that he has done. A little bit of CZW, a lot of bar wrestling. Whose dad thinks that Candice LeRae is washed up? I think her match with Io Shirai proved that Candice LeRae has a lot still in the tank. Problem is, there are a lot of other people who have a lot in the tank. So they have to do this storyline with trophies and everything else. Plus, they're giving her a break because of the injury. So throughout the night early on, we see Dexter Lumis doing something. You know he's drawing. How many times have Dexter Lumis, when he's got a pen in his hand, what do you think he's doing with it? You think he's playing tic-tac-toe? I mean, what is he doing? What is he was drawing. And it looks like Dexter Lumis actually drew that logo for New Year's Evil. So I love it. I love Dexter Lumis's artwork. I know you can't do cameos right now, but I wish Dexter Lumis would draw a little artwork or maybe even do like the art version of cameo. Like, oh, I'll draw something for you. Pay me money and I'll draw something. I'd love him to draw a cartoon character of yours truly. I'd pay him. I'd put some quarters together. I'd put a decent amount together. So, Tyler Rust, very competitive match with Tommaso Ciampa. In the end, he loses. But Malcolm Bivens shows up, still scouting Tyler Rust, gives him a fist pump, and makes you wonder, I say it third week in a row, what the hell's going to happen with Indira Shear? That one photo. You happy for Keith Lee? If you're in the wrestling business and you don't know, you don't spoil a major title victory like that. I mean, that should be the first thing they teach you when you're a little baby Shear, you know? Unbelievable. I tell you, when we do the awards, we're going to do the Blackheart year-end awards. We'll do it in January, Mish and I. And there's going to be an award for, like, fuck-up of the year. And I tell you, I think when we figure out the exact category, they got to win an award. They have to win an award as talk about, like, totally, like, shooting yourself in the foot award. Oh, man, did they screw up. Grizzled Young Veterans video package, we're up to 3. Karrion Kross and Scarlett warning everyone that Doomsday is coming, another video package, 4. And I'm not including backstage interviews, by the way, 4. We have Kyle O'Reilly beating Pete Dunne. And I don't know if you all caught this. I caught it immediately. The commentators, Wade Barrett, Vic Joseph, said that they were giving us this match commercial free. Did you all check that out? And I took notice and I said, wow. My first reaction was, wow. If this goes 2 quarters, no commercials, this is going to be really interesting what those quarter hours are going to be on Friday when I cover it, because there's no commercials to make people lose interest. And I rewound it. They said, this match will be uninterrupted, commercial free. 4 minutes later, split screen, Snoop Dogg eating Doritos. Horrible. There was 2 commercial breaks. Thank you, Brony. 2 commercial breaks. Fuck were they talking about? How do you like make a mistake? Like somebody told them to say that it was commercial free. It wasn't. But they had an awesome match. They had an awesome match. And in the end, I love the finish, by the way. I absolutely love the finish. Kyle O'Reilly had Pete Dunne draped on the bottom rope, and he dropped the knee right on Pete Dunne's head. And Pete Dunne just like rolled in the middle of the ring. He's like, just pin me. I mean, storyline wise. I mean, it was physical. It was phenomenal. I've said for the last couple of weeks that I would love to see Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor for the heavyweight title. I truly thought Pete Dunne was winning it tonight. But once Kyle O'Reilly won, and I saw the graphic, and I started having flashbacks of their match, man, they tore it up. They tore it up. I hope nobody gets injured, and I hope they don't water it down. I think those two are going to go crazy in that match. But I also think there will be some bullshit finish. I really do. There's going to be some interference. I don't know if it's going to be Karrion Kross, but you could feel that there's going to be a bullshit finish there. So after that match is over, we get a backstage segment. Video package number 5. Boa and Xia Li. This time, Xia Li is being forced to kick and punch Boa. And she's crying, and once again, we get the mystery woman. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we saw the fingernails? Now we see the mystery woman. I have no idea who it's going to be. I am very interested. I will tell you, I love the segments. Yes, they're a little bit out there at the points where it almost feels like torture. It was a couple of weeks ago where they were like have their heads underwater and stuff like that. It feels extreme. Somebody says, Gail Kim, go Soulfly. That's not a bad idea. I don't know. I don't think so. Because remember, you know, people have pointed out to me that Xia Li and Boa are from China. You know, it is different. So this is going to be somebody likely Chinese. And I don't know if Gail Kim is Chinese or Japanese. I mean, honestly, I don't pay attention to people's, you know, nationalities all that much. But I personally think with all of the bad blood that Gail Kim has had with WWE, I don't see her coming back to NXT. I really don't. But these segments, and I've said this before, Xia Li and Boa have to, when they come back to the ring, they have to beat the fuck out of people. They have to cause so much brutality. Because if you show these torture videos week in and week in and week in and week out and week in and week out, and then they show up and lose after 2 weeks, man, this is going to kill their WWE careers. She's Korean. Thank you. She's Korean. You know, like I said, you know, I just don't pay attention to losing. It doesn't sway me anyway. So all I know is that she's one of the greatest female wrestlers of our generation. But I don't think she's coming back to WWE. Shotzi Blackheart, she has a match with Indy Hartwell. The way is around ringside. That's what they're calling themselves now. And Indy Hartwell gets disqualified, uses the trophy. The trophy actually broke a little bit. You saw the top was on an angle. And Indy Hartwell is basically beating down Shotzi Blackheart with it. And it was funny when the referee turned around, like Indy Hartwell was just like frozen. Like, did I do that? And they called for the bell. Yes, Gail Kim was awesome. Absolutely. Karrion Kross destroys Desmond Troy. Just made me happy. Like I said, it's only because I never liked the name Denzel DeJournette. Reminded me of a salad dressing. Karrion Kross stares down in the cameras, challenges Damian Priest for a match at New Year's Evil. So it is official. Karrion Kross versus Damian Priest in 3 weeks, New Year's Evil. And you will have Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly at New Year's Evil. Dexter Lumis drawing the logo, as I said before. We have Isaiah Swerve Scott being interviewed. Asked why he didn't shake Jake Atlas's hand. You know, he lost. He got frustrated. Interrupted. You know, by Ever-Rise. I'm telling you, man, I have nothing against Ever-Rise personally, but I just look at them, and to me, it's like a low-budget version of the Young Bucks. And I feel bad, but they have to realize, and it's not fair to them, they've had decent careers coming up, but when you look and remind people too much of arguably the best tag team that's not in the main WWE roster, you know, you got to come out with a little bit more of a unique look. So, yeah, Isaiah Swerve Scott, I think they are teasing a little bit of a heel turn. You know, I thought they were going to do something with him and Adonis, but they haven't. So we'll see what happens. Main event, Toni Storm versus Rhea Ripley. Excellent match, real fun match, but they keep this feud with Raquel Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley going. You would think after War Games that that was it, but they keep it going. And what ends up happening is towards the end, and if you look at it, look, I have been singing nothing but praise for Raquel Gonzalez for a long time now. I have told you I think she is the most improved wrestler for NXT in 2020. She is phenomenal, but tonight it just looked really messy. She shows up at ringside at the very end of the match. We're already at 10 o'clock, so we're in overtime. She shows up. She distracts Rhea Ripley, and then there's something where Rhea Ripley, like, knocks Toni Storm into Raquel Gonzalez. She goes backwards. She goes over the guardrail. The way the cameras were set up, it looked really sloppy. But then at the very end, Raquel Gonzalez gets involved in a corner with Rhea Ripley, and Toni Storm gets the win. Yeah, it was botched pretty good. I mean, look, it happens to everybody, but the cameras were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I honestly thought they were going to go with Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai, especially at the end of War Games. It made sense, but they insist on this continuing with Rhea Ripley and Raquel. It's got to end at New Year's Evil. We'll see what stipulation it is. I don't know what stipulation even do. I mean, remember, it's New Year's Evil. There's got to be some evil intention. There's got to be something big with those two. And we'll see where it goes. Look, I think both episodes today had its moments that were very entertaining, but there was a lot of shoddiness to it. Tyler Rust, no fault of his own, is just not connected with fans yet, not connected with me. So it's not, even though it was a good match, you know, if people would get big ratings simply because of having good matches, Ring of Honor would be blowing ratings over the years, blowing it through the roof. They have a lot of good matches. It doesn't work that way. And like I said, there was a lot of things in AEW tonight that left me really questioning. In the big picture, there was a lot of steps backward tonight, in my opinion. Last week, they drew almost a million for the whole night. I don't think it comes close tonight. I truly think AEW is going to be more towards 900,000. I will even dare to go lower than 900,000. Not by a lot, but I'm going to say AEW scored 885. That even feels big because other than a little... You know, with all the clusterfucks, you know, you ever hear like when there's a car accident, like it's messed up and you just can't turn away, like you got to see it. That's what AEW feels an awful lot the last couple of weeks. There's so much action and there's so much interference and clusterfucks and aftermatch beatdowns. There's so much, like, not a boring moment. It's funny, but it feels like total nonstop action. And look what ended up happening there. Would you have ever thought that total nonstop action would dip that far in the ratings? And don't blame it on Hogan and Bischoff and Russo. So I think, I tell you, the more I think about it, I think AEW this week does 876. I'll go at 876. AJ says the ratings won't be out till Friday. Okay. If I have the quarter hours Friday, I'll get into them Friday. If they're not out Friday, then Either I'll get into it Monday, or you know, we'll work it out. But I'm going to say 870. What did I say? 876 for AEW NXT. As weird as it sounds, I think they're going to do better this week than last week. And I don't think it's the Killer Cross effect. I mean, yes, I'm a big fan of Karrion Kross, as are a lot of you out there. But as I pointed out in the past, you know, Karrion Kross does not have a huge fan base yet. And it surprises me more because he is so interactive on social media. I mean, his fans are hardcore. But, you know, nice, slow build for his return. You know, might be the way to go. But I don't think, you know, his return, especially, and I will say this, NXT this week did a better job hyping up matches. You saw the preview on my YouTube channel. I put that preview up 3 days ago. I think that's the first time in about 8 or 9 months I've been able to put the preview pick up that early, because everybody announced so many matches early on. I'm like, this is phenomenal. Not just for preparation, but hype up your NXT matches 5-6 days in advance. Why keep it a secret for 5 days that you're going to have Ember Moon versus Raquel Gonzalez? That's not a bad match to hype up. Tonight, you know, they did a better job this week, and that's the reason why I think their rating goes up. I'm going to say NXT did 7-11. Still not a great number, but that leaves... Remember last week I said Wednesday Night Wrestling will do 1.65 million viewers. It did 1.656. So the overall, I was within 6,000. I think this week, wrestling does around 1.6 million viewers again, but I think it will be a little bit less than last week. So I'm going to say 876 to 711, which would be about 1.58 million viewers. So I'm going to go with that. We'll see what happens. But with that said, everyone, I am so happy that we didn't have any interruptions with the weather. I don't hear any ice anymore, which probably is a bad thing, because that means we're having tons of snow coming down. I am not used to even 6 inches of snow. We're supposed to get 1 to 2 feet tonight. I know some of you out there are getting it as well, so please stay safe. And most importantly, don't be a superhero with the shovel tomorrow. I mean, it's no secret, I'm taking off from work tomorrow, but tomorrow morning I'm going right to the parents' house, because I know my father. He is a stubborn 71-year-old Italian guy who has crushed vertebrae in his back. And I know that son of a bitch is going to try to shovel. And I am going to try to get there and do it before he does. So all of you out there, if you enjoyed tonight's episode, as someone explained to me in more detail, I appreciate it if you gave it a thumbs up or hit that like button. By doing that, you're telling YouTube that you like and recommend this video. And the more we get that, the more they will recommend this video to others. If you have any comments you'd like to share tonight, if you want to input as far as what I should do with next week's Wednesday Night Dynamite, one thing is for certain, next Wednesday, there will not be a show. It's not fair to go live at 10 o'clock when a lot of you out there will want to see AEW live. So again, it'll either be pre-recorded Thursday, or I'll do one Thursday afternoon around 3 p.m. Eastern, or I will do one Thursday evening around 9 p.m. Eastern. Something tells me I'll end up doing a pre-recorded, because that's what a lot of you pretty much have said early on. But hey, you know, convince me otherwise, and I will oblige. And that's pretty much it. So everyone have a great night. Happy holidays. All the best. I thank you for the support. Much appreciated. More than you'll ever know. And I will catch you all again this Friday for the Don Tony Show right after SmackDown. And that's it. So everyone be well. All the best. I'll catch you Friday. Ciao.